Jesus is our healer. And we're going to share tonight Module 5 of Graduate Healing School. Now, most people who are participating, most ABCers, are graduates of Healing School Semester 1, 2, and 3. So for them, there should be no challenge with this material. But if you're new, or if you're not a graduate of the Healing School, you might find parts here and there which may be challenging, with which you may not understand, with which you may disagree. If so, just put it on the back burner for a while. Or give me a call, send me an email, and we can talk about it. If you hear things that are too challenging, don't sweat it. Just take one step towards God. You take a step towards God, God takes a step towards you, one step at a time. So tonight we're going to talk about faith is not walking by sight, part two. We taught part one a month ago. And I want to remind you that in the undergraduate healing school, semesters one, two, and three, healing school, that the theme for the entire school is James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And in the theme for semester one is submission to God, understanding that healing comes through your spoken word. Healing comes through your word. The opposite is also true. Your words can hinder your healing or block your healing. In semester two, we start to resist the devil. And resisting the devil starts with a lifestyle of living in the kingdom of God. We learn how to establish the kingdom of God and to live in it and to understand when we're leaving the kingdom of God. So healing school, semester two. Healing comes through the fruit of the Spirit. As you live in the fruit of the Spirit, you remain in the kingdom of God. And finally, semester three, the devil flees from you. He flees from you when you're submitted to the Word of God, when you live in the kingdom of God by practicing the nine parts of the fruit, and then you tell him to go, and he flees. In fact, many times he'll flee even before you tell him. So the resisting is semester two, and the fleeing is semester three. But I've noticed that many graduates of healing school semester one, and two, and three, they know how to overcome challenges, but it seems to me they're having too many challenges. It's wonderful to have a great challenge and to have a great testimony coming out of it. But the devil is a defeated foe. You know, it's not like you're going to go outside and someplace and, you know, on the beach someplace and some mosquito started attacking you and you swat the mosquito and then you go inside and tell your family, yay, I just killed me two mosquitoes. No, you know, it's that we give the devil too much credit. Yes, it's great to have wonderful testimony, but he's not even a mosquito. Mosquitoes, as far as anyone, are defeated. But Satan is defeated. We have to keep that in mind. But that only comes through a lifestyle. In all of healing school, we use the word lifestyle over and over. And the lifestyle is based on a foundation scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a lifestyle. We don't live by our five senses. We don't live carnally. And by carnally, I don't necessarily mean sinfully. I mean, carnally means focusing on carnal things. Focusing on your job, focusing on your food, focusing on your pleasure, focusing on things that are carnal. We don't live a lifestyle like that, and then suddenly we want something for God, and suddenly we become spiritual, and we start walking by faith. That's not the idea. The idea is we're always walking by faith and not by sight. Not only when we need something. See, that's really a very big difference between God and a genie. You know, they both start with G, but they're very different. And they both, in theory, give you what you ask for. But they're very different. See, a genie doesn't care what your lifestyle is. All a genie cares about is if you rub the magic lantern and he pops out and you tell him what to do, he does it. I got that from a TV show. Okay? A genie is supposed to do what you ask. That's not the way God works. We don't suddenly live a terrible life and then run to God and ask for things when we want it. We are too, as people on the earth, we are too used to doing that. We have lifestyles, and most people don't particularly want to change your lifestyle unless it's a terrible lifestyle. But if they have a medium good lifestyle, if they have a wonderful lifestyle, if they have all the money they need and all the food they need and so forth, they don't particularly want to change your lifestyle. All they want to do is when a little rain comes into the life, they want to put up an umbrella. And typically, when the rain of medical challenges come into their life, they want to run to a doctor and say, "Doctor, fix me so I can go back out to the same lifestyle I had before." They're not going to the doctor to get their lifestyle changed. They're going to get rid of the pain, get rid of this, get rid of the that. God is your healer, but he's not an MD. He doesn't work that way. He's not a genie that simply grants your wishes, nor is he an MD that simply heals the physical challenge. God says, "Come unto me." Okay? And as you come unto him, as you take steps towards him, he takes steps towards you. And the process of you drawing closer to him is the process of you changing. That is the process of a lifestyle, which starts with one step and then becomes all day long. All day long, you're focused on him. In fact, ultimately, it says, if you give up your life, if you lose your life, you will find it. You will find it. Almost every single person on earth, outside of ABC, expects to die. Except for the believers who believe in the rapture, who think they're going to be raptured out of here before the problems start. But except for those who believe in a rapture and believe that they're going to be caught up before the problems, or caught up after the problems, except for those who believe that they won't die because of a rapture, everybody else thinks they're going to die. And as they believe, so shall they receive. Isn't that what the scriptures say? They believe they're going to die, so they will. Because your lifestyle is built around the day they're going to die. The devil has trained us to develop lifestyles that's built around fear and mammon and the medical system, all leading to death. And Jesus wants you to build a lifestyle around him. That if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything you need will be added to you. You know, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you." And the world says, "Work hard, go to school, get a good job so you can have all these things." Whose report should you believe? So, speaking of a lifestyle, a great way to start talking about a lifestyle is 1 Peter 2:24. Seems to me I heard that someplace tonight. 1 Peter 2:24. And we all know that because we all love affirmations. "I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus." But that's just the part B of it. It's the tail end of the scripture, of the verse. The verse is the lifestyle verse. "For he himself bore your sins in his body on the tree, that you being dead to sin," it starts with you being dead to sin. Your healing comes because you're dead to sin. "You being dead to sin should live unto righteousness." Oh, and incidentally, a byproduct is by whose stripes you're healed. So the lifestyle comes first, then comes the healing. And what's the lifestyle? There's only one lifestyle for a believer. It must be focused on Jesus Christ. We don't spend, 6 days a week on what we want to do, and then on the seventh day we go to church for an hour and call this a lifestyle centered on God. No. A lifestyle centered on God means that you are where God wants you to be 24 hours a day. And many people are finding out if they're not where God wants them to be, especially in these ending days, they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But not for us, right? We're going to be where God wants us to be. We're going to be in the right place at the right time, and we'll never be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay? So God wants a lifestyle. So here are some things that make up a lifestyle. In this outline, I've added some words on the same line as scriptures, sometimes inside the scripture, so that you know that I've added it, and it's not from the Bible. I've enclosed them in the wiggly brackets. Well, they're italicized, and besides being italicized, they're closed in these brackets you see here. I don't know what they call them. Who can have brackets? Wing brackets, okay? They're enclosed in wing brackets, which are little wiggly brackets, okay? They're not square brackets, and they're not the normal round brackets. They are wing brackets, okay? Okay, so they're enclosed in wing brackets, and they're italicized, meaning they're sloping to the right. They had too much to drink, and they're falling over, okay? Italicized. When you see that, you know that the author added it, and I'm the author, okay? So, for example, on the line with the foundation scripture, it says 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That's the King James. Unless otherwise specified, I always use the King James. I love the King James. But notice it says, as a lifestyle. And that's in the wing brackets, and it's italicized. It's also bolded. "For we walk by faith, not by sight," as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle. Say with me, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I walk by faith. In your word. And in the leading of the Holy Spirit.
And not by sight.
And this is a deliberate, intentional
lifestyle.
Help me to do this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, as a lifestyle, faith is believing that you have received when you ask. That's part A. Part B, faith is looking at things which are unseen. If you are living a carnal life, then by definition, you're looking at carnal things, which means you're looking at things that you can see, which means you're walking by sight. If you're looking at things that are unseen, well, obviously, it's not carnal because it's unseen. It's spiritual, and you can only look at it through your eye of faith. So you're walking by faith. Here's a good test. What are you looking at? Are you looking at carnal things that you can see? Are you looking at things you can't see, which are spiritual and come from the throne above? It's very simple. See, prayers have no time limits. Why do prayers have no time limits? Because God is eternal. He's the great I am. He's not the great I used to be. Not the great I will be. And put God in charge. There are many, 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 many denominations who love to say God is in charge. Don't worry about a thing. God is in charge. Let me tell you, that's not a true statement. If God were in charge, nobody would go to hell today. Because it's the will of God that all be saved. So how can he be in charge when it's his will that none be lost and people go to hell every day? People, somehow when they pick up the Bible, they lose their common sense. A lot of people. I'm serious. But God is in charge when you put him in charge. Why do you have to put him in charge? The same reason why you gotta get saved. You didn't have to get saved. You're the captain of your own ship. You can do whatever you want to do. You could choose God, or you could choose the devil. You could choose whatever you want to choose, because God put you in charge of yourself. But you chose to put God in charge of your salvation by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And just as you made him the bishop of your soul, by accepting him as your Savior, you need to put him in charge of every area of your life. Wonderful way to do it. I start every single day this way. And very often, if I sin and I know it, I repeat the process. I put God in charge of my life every day. I start every day saying, in the name of Jesus, I loose into my life this day and the life of everybody on my prayer list this day God's will, God's power, and God's angels. And in Jesus' name, I bind for me and everybody on my prayer list, Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit. When I put that, when I do that, I put God in charge. And he remains in charge until I sin. So I try not to sin. And when I sin, I confess it as fast as I can, and I restore my prayers. Okay? Faith is believing that you've received. Faith is a total commitment to believing the Word of God. The problem is most people don't believe the Word of God. If you really believe the Word of God, you will, based on the Word of God, turn your financial decisions over to God, turn your decisions over to Him, what to do and where to be. You would not walk into fear when God sends you places. People believe part of the Word of God. I'm talking about Christians. Remember, this is graduate school. Faith is a total commitment to believe in the Word of God. Where does that come from? Well, more than one place, but the one I'm going to focus on is a scripture you might not have heard of for at least an hour, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Notice it ends with a phrase which is in the future. You shall have them in the future. You shall have them in the future when? When in the present you believe you receive. So when you pray in the present, you believe you receive in the present, and you shall have them. So when you pray in the present, you believe you receive in the present, and with your eye of faith, you see things that are not seen. You see the answer to your prayer in the spiritual realm, and you're looking at things that are unseen. If after you pray, you have to look at the carnal to tell you whether or not your prayers are answered, you're well on your way of canceling your prayers. Now, of course, it's nice to have the manifestation. You know, it's great to believe that you have this month's rent in your heavenly bank account and you receive it by faith and you can see it by faith. But it's very nice for you and your landlord if the cash physically passes hand. Right? And the same thing is true with healing. You know, it's great to believe you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus and your body is free of pain, but it's really nice when in the natural the physical pain goes. So we're not minimizing the manifestation. We're just focusing on the details of the process. The details of the process is you must understand when you pray that you believe it's done. From that point on, every word you say, everything you do, as best as you can, must line up with the fact that you believe that you have received. Let's look at it in different versions. NIV, New International Version. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. See, here the past tense is clearly specified. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Contrast between past tense and the future. Believe you have received it. No, I know that's not a simple past tense, but I forget what it's called. And it will be yours, okay? I know we got teachers here who are happy to tell me, but I'm not going to ask them. The NASB, New American Standard Bible. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. All things you pray for and ask, present tense, believe that you have received them. At the point in time when you pray, you believe it's done because God said He'd answer your prayers. Daniel prayed, it took 21 days for the answer to come. When the angel got there, he says, Daniel, oh boy, I started out immediately when you prayed. God sent me immediately. But it took 21 days to fight through the princes of the earth. Now, if Daniel said, well, I guess God didn't answer my prayers, or doesn't want me to have it, or I guess it didn't work, that angel would have lost the battle with the princes of the earth. They would have beat him up and sent him back. Our prayers empower the angels. Angels who are acting on your behalf need your faith and your prayers to empower them over the enemy. AMPC, Amplified Classic. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident. Whoa, trust God and be confident. You all know what that means, trust and be confident. Trust and be confident that it is granted to you, is at the point in time when you pray. And you will get it. If you believe it is done when you pray, you'll get it. If 1 second after you pray, you believe it has been done, you will get it. But if you keep saying God is going to do it, you will never get it. Because you're putting it in the future, and God is not the God of the future. The future never comes to God because it's all present for Him. NCV, New Contemporary Version. New Contemporary Version. So I tell you to believe that you receive the things you ask for. So I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you. So I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for, and God will give them to you. This is, in terms of prayer, and the management of prayer, this is probably the number one reason why people don't get their prayers answered. I ministered to a man, oh my, it was a long, long time ago, and he was saying, he loved the Lord, but he says, you know, he was amazed when I told him that I expect 100% of my prayers to be answered. He said, man, I've been praying for years, and if I do 1 in 10, I'm very happy. I explained this to him. A few months later, he called me back. He says, I'm up to 90%. This thing works because it's the Word of God. GWT, God's Word Translation. God's Word Translation. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received. Oh my, couldn't this be much clearer? I tell you to have faith that you have already received. Whatever you pray, and it will be yours. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received. The faith, the confidence and trust is that you have already received. Whatever you pray, and it will be yours. So what things of you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you should have them. It ends in the word them. You should have them when them meets three conditions. Three conditions are, you must desire it, you must pray for it, and at the time and point in time when you pray, you must believe you have received. Summary. Believe you receive means that you're leaning your entire being on the belief that God's word is true and that you're trusting Him with full confidence that you already have the answer to your petition. The lady with the issue of blood who went to Jesus and touched His garment was leaning her entire belief on Him. She was leaning her entire life on Him because she was risking her life. Because for being out in public with an issue, she could be put to death. That is what it means by leaning your entire being. You know, I heard a man say once, you know, that people, that many times when he goes to church to speak, they kind of tip God. You know, it's like a small change you give to God or whatever, it's a tip. See, it's hard to get much from God when you're tipping Him in a way like that. What God wants is all of you. God takes great pleasure in your faith. God must have taken superb pleasure in the faith of David when David went out against a champion, a boy going against a giant, when nobody else in the land would go against them because they were afraid. And he goes out with a slingshot. His life depended on God backing him up. He says, this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to kill him. uncircumcised because he has no covenant with God. And David is saying, I am a covenant person. I am circumcised. God is on my side because of our, because we are blood brothers. Everything that God has belongs to me. And he went out there to do his part, which is to risk his life and lead his entire being and God in full confidence and trust. Because God says, I'm your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. And he went out there with his invincible army and killed Goliath. But if God hadn't backed him up, he'd have died. But God could only back him up because all his word was scriptural. Uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to kill you. He didn't say, uncircumcised Philistine, maybe I'll kill you if God doesn't let me down. He'd have died. I almost got into the next part of this, which is next month, which has to do with the fear of dying. Okay? Remember, this is graduate school. So I expect that all of you have been practicing healing for years now. So we're bouncing up to a higher level. So summary, believe you receive means that you're leading your entire being. That is, you're trusting your life, your wealth, your finances, your family, everything on the belief that God's word is true. And you're trusting him with full confidence that you already have the answer to your petition. No, that kind of faith only comes from the heart. Faith is faith in the heart. Faith is not mental assent where you understand and agree in your head. Mental assent has little or no spiritual power. Mental assent is understanding what it says and agreeing it's correct. It's in the mind. It's an intellectual operation, not a faith operation. I was really intellectually bound up much of my life. I went to a major university and came out with degrees in four disciplines. And one of the first things God had me do when I got saved was throw away all my books. All my textbooks, all my novels, everything. I threw away every single book. I had no idea why I was doing it. Until years later, he was breaking that intellectual bondage. So I would not be going by what I knew in my mind, but I'd be going by what's in my heart and what's in the Word of God. All of you need to throw away your intellectual bondage. I'm not saying you have to throw away your books. What you do to achieve it is between you and God. For me, I had to throw away my books because I was a bookworm. I liked being a bookworm. I thought it was a wonderful profession. How he deals with you is between you and God. But each of us has to come to that point, place where you die to self, where you lose your life for him, where you're willing to stand up for his word. And the time to do it is now. The time to do it is not when a person is saying to somebody, you know, deny Jesus and accept this other God, or we're going to kill you. That's not a good time to practice. You want to practice when things are under your control. So believing in your heart requires action. Mark 11:22, Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. That's the New Living Translation, NLT, New Living Translation. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, mountain of cancer, mountain of poverty, mountain of challenges with your body, mountain of relationship challenges with your neighbor or your family. May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can tell the mountain, be cast into the sea. And if you have a good reason for casting the mountain into the sea and you don't doubt in your heart, it will be cast into the sea. I mean, talking about a physical mountain, but also any other mountain. But you must really believe it will happen. You must really believe it will happen. And have no doubt in your heart. You must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. If you believe the Bible and the Bible says it, then you're well on your way to believing in your heart. Next thing you need to do is act on it. Act on it. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. But when you believe in your heart, it requires action. In fact, action is what puts it in your heart. You know, I'm talking about a lifestyle where you identify with a lifestyle. For example, if you go to a party and you meet a man and you say, "What are you?" He might say, "I'm an engineer." Why is that? Because he identifies with being an engineer. He went to college for years to be an engineer. He's practicing his profession. It's important to him. His world is built around the fact that he can make a living as an engineer. So he says, "I'm an engineer." We need to so identify with Jesus that, first of all, we are Christians. That's what we are. The most important thing is we are Christians. We are living for Christ. We are living to be like Christ. That's the identification that we're looking for. And when you have that kind of identification with Christ, then you believe His word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you act on it because the word says it and it goes into your heart. Once it's in your heart, it will come out as action. James 2:20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" See, a lot of people run around the place saying they have faith. Well, the scripture says, "Show me your faith by your works." We can't look into your heart, but we can see your actions. We can hear what you say, and that's where we see your faith. Your faith is manifested in your actions, and your faith is manifested in your words. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If your heart is full of faith, faith comes out your mouth. And whatever your mouth says, your mouth guides your life, so your actions will follow it. James 2:26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead," that's a heavy thought. The body without the spirit is dead. That's, you see a person, and it's a dead body, you know the spirit is life. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Faith without works is dead. You can have all the mental assent in the world. If your words and your action don't match what the Word of God says, then your faith is dead. Your faith is the title deed of what you prayed for. So you'll act on it as if you believe. That is, act as best as you can as if you already had the manifestation. If you believe you've been healed, you'll do something or try to do something you couldn't do before. If you have no desire to act on it, then most likely you do not believe in your heart. Let me read it again. If you have no desire to act on this faith which you think you have, then most likely you do not believe in your heart. You probably believe in your head, which is called mental assent. Because if you have mental assent, there's no necessary desire to act on it. You understand a lot of stuff in your head that you don't act on. If you're afraid to act on it, then you need to deal with the demons of doubt, unbelief, and fear. If you're afraid to act on it. If you believe it's real, but you're afraid to act on it, then you want to deal with demons of doubt, unbelief, and fear. Faith is looking at things which are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The things that you're doing today, as best as you can, standing in faith. As best as you can, overcoming challenges. These have benefits beyond the present. In the present, you're acting on your faith, you're speaking your faith to overcome a challenge. And your goal is to overcome the challenge. But I'm telling you, the rewards, the blessings, the ramifications of doing that go way beyond this current challenge. They'll affect you in the medium term and the long term. They'll even affect you after Jesus comes back. We teach more on that in graduate school. So your faith today, even when you take action of faith, even if you don't see the results, they're going to have long-term repercussions and long-term benefits. So keep plugging away. Every time you resist the devil, every time you resist a symptom, you get stronger and the devil gets weaker. And every time you agree with it, the devil gets stronger and you get weaker. Your will becomes weaker. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are not seen. So faith is looking at things which are not seen. Walking by sight is looking at things which are seen. The symptoms are things you can see. See means the five senses. So faith is looking at things which are not seen. Your prayer was answered when you prayed. You believe you receive it. And with your eye of faith, you see it in the spiritual realm coming to you. Why? Because your faith is the title deed that says you own it. Because you believe the word of God. Because God is not a liar. And God says, when you believe you receive, you shall have it. And God will always give you what you ask for in faith, or something better. Or something better. Ephesians 2:20. Tonight we played a song called I've Been Healed by the Stripes of Jesus. I've Been Healed by the Stripes of Jesus. That lady had some significant challenges and came here a number of years ago. Might have been, I lost track, 10 years maybe? Maybe even longer. And while she's here, she got some healing of, I guess, the primary thing she came for. And she learned so much, she was moved by God to write a song, I Have Been Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, which is one of the most tremendously anointed songs in the era of healing, as far as I'm concerned. Words are wonderful. She really got it. Now, while she was here, she had a friend. I won't tell you who she is, but her name is Penny. And Penny was challenged with a major problem, which had become acute. And as I understand it, there was some discussion about Penny going to an emergency hospital. And Jennifer said, no, Penny, come to church with me. So she came to church and said the emergency hospital, as the story was related to me. And she's never left. She's still here. This was many years ago. She's still here. And now she has a wonderful, handsome husband that she met here. She got an Ephesians 3:20 answer to her prayer of coming here. And now she's on staff. And now she's gone through healing school, School of Dominion, graduate school, Bible college. God always gives you what you ask for, or something better. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things which are seen are not made of things which appear to you. In other words, you can't see them. Hebrews 11:3, Amplified. Same scripture, different translation. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for the intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. What we see is not made out of things which are visible. And we are looking at things we can't see, the word of God, God's promise, the answer to our prayers. We can't see them yet, but they are unseen, and they're going to change the natural till we can see the natural. We look at the unseen, and we call things that be not because they're unseen until they be, until they appear, until you can see them. It's that simple process. You create your world with your words. You take your words, you line it up with the promise of God, and you cast it into the spiritual realm, and you pull into the physical what you need. And you keep pulling it with your words, affirming it, watering it, until they do appear. And that's true for every single promise of God. And it is that simple. But you do it as a lifestyle. You don't pull God's goodness down in the area of healing while you're pulling the devil's evil into your life in terms of backbiting, gossip, strife, immorality, and all the other sins the devil would love us to do. Because it's a lifestyle. You want to pull down God's goodness in every single area. It's a lifestyle. He took our sins that we should live in righteousness. Righteousness. Living righteous because he's righteous. Being holy because our Father is holy. Living in love because God is love. Don't you want to live in God? Being a loving, forgiving person because Jesus took all your sins. All your sins have been paid for. You're not going to hell. Can't you at least forgive the person who offended you? Of the minor thing they did? And that, of course, is yes. Saw a lady who we finally taught her and got her to forgive her sister. And this paralyzed lady, next day was walking. Had come out of a wheelchair and walking. Taught the lady how to pray properly, correcting some mistakes she was making. And in 15 minutes, she went from paralysis, total paralysis from her neck down, to walking in 15 minutes. Polio and polio. Hebrews 11 verse 3, same scripture from the Message Bible. By faith we see the world called into existence by God's word. He did the same thing that we're doing. He calls things into existence. He calls things that be not as though they are. We are children of the living God. We live the same way he lives, and we do what he does. Isn't that what Jesus said? I only do what I see my Father do. We should do the same. What we see by sight, what we see carnally, what we see created by what we don't see. So we create what we want to see by pulling it into the spiritual. We look at the unseen and pull it down so we can see it. We call in health to replace sickness. We call in flesh, healthy flesh, free of tumors to replace tumors. We call in money to replace emptiness in our checking accounts. It's all the same process. We call the Spirit of God to enter us and drive out the devil so we could be born again. We call in a new creation, a new spirit to replace the old man. It's all the same process. So we do this by looking through the eye of faith. 2 Timothy 2:26. It is through teaching that they may recover themselves. Recover themselves means become sober out of a drunken stupor. Recover yourself. A good translation is become sober. Become sober means you come out of a drunken stupor. Out of the snare, the trap, as fastened by a noose, out of that noose of the devil. Those who were taken captive by him, by the devil. So it's true teaching that we recover ourselves. My people perish for lack of knowledge, but with knowledge we can recover ourselves out of the snare of the enemy. With knowledge we can destroy that drunken stupor so we can see the world through the eye of faith and not through the five senses. See the symptoms not as a reflection of natural reality, but as a contradiction to spiritual reality. You choose where you want to live. Do you want to live in God's word, in God's report, obedient to God, in the Zoe life, in the higher level, in the spiritual life? If that's where you want to live, that's what you see, and you interpret everything in the light of that. If you do that, then the symptoms of a medical problem are simply lies of the enemy, and they're contradicting the spiritual reality. The spiritual reality always supersedes the physical reality. There are man laws, man-made laws, there are physical laws of nature, and there are spiritual laws of God. Physical laws of nature always supersede man's law. You could put up a sign that says, the government says, there'll be no earthquake in California. Mm-hmm. Believe me, it ain't going to stop the earthquakes when they come. But the earthquake can be stopped by the spiritual reality, which is you can speak that earthquake and stop it, which many of us have done. I was here in a staff meeting and an earthquake started. You never heard so many people tell an earthquake to stop so fast. It was automatic. Earthquake went, whoops, stop. See the symptom as contradicting the word of God. Anything that contradicts the word of God will fail, and will fail in your life if you agree with the word of God. Two, it takes two to make a majority. God and you are a majority over everything else. But you and the devil are a majority over God. Because God will not go against your will. So if you're saying what the devil is saying, you're agreeing with the devil, and God cannot go against it. Because you're a majority. And he won't violate your will. See the symptoms as illegal actions of the devil. Because you have no sins. Your sins have been taken away. The wages of sin is what he's trying to give you. You tell him, I have no sin. I have no wages. Take your sickness, disease, and go, because Jesus took all of mine. I have no sin. I'm sin free. But that only works when you confess your sins regularly. When you confess your sins, when you know that you've done them, and when you're trying very hard not to sin. When you determine in your heart, I never want to sin again. And ask God to help you not to sin again. But if your mouth is always sinning, then the whole deck of cards is going to fall down. Most people lose their healing or not get it because of the words of their mouth. They cancel their prayers or they sin with their mouth. Boy, it's quiet, but not as much as I would have thought. That's a good thing. We're making progress. See the symptoms as lies of the enemy, perhaps as deceptive or hypnotic projections or trances. He's a great deceiver. He can hypnotize anybody. And you will be in a drunken stupor, snared by the enemy, unless you know the word of God and stand on the word of God. See the situation not as a challenge, but as a test for a testimony. A future of great praise report. This is the one that I used a lot. Every time a challenge comes, I say, what a great praise report this is going to be. And that's why I have so many praise reports. Really, I'm serious. Because I see every challenge as a potential future praise report. That's why after a while he got smart and he doesn't attack me as much as he used to. See the situation not as an occasion for failure, but as the exercise needed to develop your faith muscles. You cannot grow in faith unless you overcome a challenge. And we all want to be great people of faith, which means we need to overcome great challenges. See the situation not as diverse temptations, but as opportunities to practice your patience. Practice joyful endurance and persistence, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Don't you want to be perfect and entire, lacking nothing? That's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. We all want to be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. It's only going to come as you overcome the diverse temptations in your life, joyfully and with endurance. You know, you see these guys and they walk around and they look, I mean, like Mr. Universe. We used to have a friend who came here all the time. He was Mr. Universe, I think, seven times. Four times, okay? And a bunch of other titles, of course. You know, it didn't happen because he was eating a can of spinach. It happened because he was going to the gym and putting in hours and hours and hours at the gym. That's what we need to do. Put in a lifestyle, feeding on the Word of God and practicing it. See this, okay, we just did that. See the symptoms as part of an ongoing lifestyle of temptations from the devil. This is a key one. People like to think the devil attacked me, I overcome it, and that's it. No. When you overcome it, comes another one. And typically they're bigger. You do understand that, right? As you grow closer to God, the temptations become bigger and bigger. And so, it's an ongoing lifestyle of overcoming temptations. No, once you understand that, it won't bother you as much. You won't lose your joy in peace. You won't walk in fear because you just know it's a lifestyle. And you won't be too anxious about getting the manifestation, unless you're in pain, because you know once you stop it, there'll be another one. No, the good news is as you continue doing this, the attacks get beaten off faster and faster. Yeah, he'd attack you, but they get beaten off faster and faster. So as you grow in it, eventually they start being beaten off and leaving you the way water runs off a duck's back. And that's how we grow. Prayers have no time limits. Too many times we think in terms of time limits because we want something and we want it by a certain time. But as soon as you put a time limit on it, it's like a plan B. So plan A is I have to get it by this time, which says what happens if you don't? Oh, that's plan B. But plan B means you don't believe plan A, which means you canceled your prayer. See, if you believe you received when you ask, there's no plan B. No, it got quiet. See, if you pray and believe you received, if you believe you receive when you pray, how could you possibly have a plan B? Plan B says you didn't believe you received. Let me say it again. You have whatever you ask for if when you pray you believe you receive it. Well, if you believe you receive it, there cannot be a plan B. Because plan B means, what happens if I don't get it? Means you don't believe you receive it. Plan B automatically cancels your prayers. And every timeline is very close to a plan B. In fact, you could make a case that it is a plan B. See, when we put a timeline, we put God in the box. Why? Well, as the doctor says, you got to have surgery by this day. Why is that? Because this thing can happen. And what does God say? God says, I can do anything. God is not limited by what the doctor says. God is not limited by what your company says. Listen, I was in a company one time, and there's a political turmoil going on. You know, when I was in the corporate world, at one time, my boss, I was at one of the two largest banks in the country. Depending on how you measure it, it was either number one or number two. And we were at pretty high level. And we won every political challenge. And my boss says to me, you know, you really should have a PhD in political fighting. Because I never lost. I mean, I could tell you stories about that. That's just truly amazing. Well, why should I lose? I had God on my side. So, years later, I'm at a company. And there's one of the guys there at the company. I was brought in to actually replace him, and he knew that, so he started to do everything to tear me down. Turns out he was listed in, I could Google him, and he's listed as founding a religion. So he's founded his own religion. And he came after me with everything he's got. And God says, don't resist and don't fight. No political fighting. Let them do what they're going to do. And boy, he really came after me. So eventually, it got to the point where I was scheduled to be fired. And I laid off is the right word. And I knew that because the computer guy who has access to everything, not supposed to, but of course he's the computer guy, he knows, told me they're going to fire you tomorrow. So, and he was telling me because he didn't like me either. It wasn't a fun thing. So I'm called into the man's office to be fired off. And he's starting to get ready to fire me, and the phone rings. And it was his boss. And his boss says, my boss just called me. And my boss told me that not only can't you fire Wong, but I have to fire you and give your job to Wong. So instead of getting fired, I got promoted. I'm sitting there waiting to get fired, and instead I get promoted. See, time lapse don't mean anything to God. And God can do anything as long as you hang on to him. By the way, later on, that same company, the man who owned the company was going to retire, and he called me up. This is after I left him. And he says, I'm going to retire. I don't want to see my company die, so I'm going to give you my company because I know you'll do a good job. And he gave me the company. And I said to the Lord, should I take it? And the Lord said, you can take it, but if you do, you won't have ABC. This is the company that paid me the highest salary I ever had in my life, higher than all the Fortune 500 corporation companies I work for. And he gave it to me. And I turned it down. I have no doubt that not fighting politically was a factor in that. So time limits don't faze God. They shouldn't faze you either. None of the teaching on prayer state when the manifestation will occur. Luke 18 verse 1, men ought always to pray. Not sometime, but always. And not to faint, get weary, or give up. Luke 18, 8, Jesus says, when I return, shall I find faith on earth? The faith to believe his promises. The faith to believe God can do anything. The faith to believe that no matter what the time limit is, God is the great I am. And he can always act in the present to solve the problem. And no matter how terrible it looks, Jesus is the way. He's the way out of any challenge. God is not limited by time. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. To him, everybody's alive. They're just sleeping. What has helped me a lot in some of these situations that seem impossible is if, no matter how far out it is, if I can think of two or three solutions to the problem, no matter how way out it is, then I figure God can think of 2 or 3 million. And that really helps me. If it seems impossible, I'm talking about impossible situations where in the natural it seems impossible, where people have told you it's impossible, where the timeline has gone and it's impossible, if I can still think of 2 or 3 ways that it could be resolved, God can surely think of 2 or 3 million. That has really helped me. Maybe it might help you. Put God in charge. Remember that God is in charge if you put him in charge. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That's the key. We lean to our understanding. We understand the circumstances. We know the ramifications of what can happen. So we lean to that. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he should direct your path. Notice it doesn't say, acknowledge me and hear me perfectly and never make a mistake and don't commit a sin. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, if you acknowledge me, I'll direct your path. And let me tell you, that's true. Okay? Believe me. Because I broke all the above before. And I acknowledge him, and he brought me back from where I was, even though I had backslidden. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. How do you depart from evil? Keep the commandments of God. Everything Jesus says, do that. Treat everything else as either evil or leading to evil. And if you do that, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That's health there. Marrow to your bones. Now, once you put God in charge, the next scripture applies to you. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them we are called according to his purpose. If you put God in charge, that applies to you. And no matter what is happening, you know God will bring good out of it. Put him in charge of your life on a regular basis, and he will bring good out of it. Ephesians 3:20. God will give you what you ask for or something greater. Once you put God in charge, and you should do it daily and maybe every time after you sin and confess your sin, act as if God is in charge. You put him in charge. Act as if you believe it's true. So you're in a situation where it looks very, very dangerous. Well, God is in charge. You put him in charge. In fact, God may have told you to go there. So you walk into the lion's den. I'm thinking of a situation where I did that. It wasn't a lion's den, but the people with me were really very much afraid of the neighborhood I had taken them to, because it was a very dangerous neighborhood. And all three of them could see into the spiritual realm. And they could see all the demons, devils, and evil spirits. Actually, there's four of them. Right? Four of them. All four of them could see into the spiritual realm. And all four of them saw all the demons, devils, and evil spirits surrounding the place. It was flooded. And they thought I couldn't see them, which is true. I couldn't see them. But I know they were there. But it didn't bother me, because God has said, go there and do this. So I went there, left them, and went to do it. And boy, they were really upset at me. It is better to be in the most dangerous place in the will of God than to be in a safe place out of the will of God. So if you act as if God is in charge, then you can be careful for nothing. You're anxious about nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. God is in charge. So what happens? The peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. If the peace of God is keeping your heart and your mind, it's difficult for the devil to attack you with fear and doubt and unbelief. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You should do it because God says do it. You should do it because it produces peace. But most of all, you should do it because you have the mind of Christ. And you have a lifestyle built around the Word of God. And the Word of God says you have the mind of Christ. It shouldn't have doubt, fear, and unbelief in it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.